State Representative Joe Sanfilippo wants to take a program, grant program created in 1993 that provides grants to police officers on the beat in 10 Wisconsin cities, and he wants to greatly expand it. So, Representative, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You're from New Berlin. You represent the 15th Assembly District.
That's correct.
And you have targeted, let me get the name right, the Law Enforcement Officer Grant Program created in 1993. So why did you target that program?
Right. I think what we see right now is an explosion of crime around the state. And so as we started working on finding ways that we can help with the local police departments to be able to control some of the crime, we looked at this program as being a capable vehicle to be able to do that. It's something that's been in existence for a number of years. It was originally intended to add more beat patrol cops in the streets in urban areas, mm-hmm. but we're expanding it in this proposal.
Okay. And let's just talk about that right now. 10 cities get $121,000 each per year.
That's correct.
Beloit, Fond du Lac, Green Bay, Kenosha, La Crosse, Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, Wausau, and West Dallas. But this, right now, it's a $2 million a year program once you fold in the match, right?
That's correct.
And you want to add $14 million, so your proposal will take it to $16 million a year.
Right. We're going to beef it up to $16 million a year. We're going to open up the eligibility requirements.
Yep.
Right now it's limited to cities that have a population of 25,000 or more. So
right.
even though it's labeled as a grant program, you've pretty much had the same cities getting the same money year after year. So it's almost like supplemental income as opposed to a grant.
Okay.
We're going to turn it into a true grant program.
Yep. Well, let's talk about the changes that you would make to the grant program. First of all local governments could participate.
Yes.
Cities, of course, they're in now, villages, towns, and sheriff's departments.
In sheriff's departments. And for the first time, we're opening this program up, and I think that's because, as you see, you know, a lot of times people are under the opinion that crime is concentrated in larger urban areas. But when we look around the state, we see that isn't the case. I mean, we have crime popping up in places like Merrill, where they were caught, you know, there was a drug bust out there. Even in Wausau, there was $1 million drug bust in a couple of taverns that were selling drugs. So I think that we're kind of seeing that this isn't just limited to larger urban areas, which is why we're getting rid of the 25,000 population requirement.
Yep.
And also adding sheriff's departments for the first time, because in a lot of communities, in the outstate areas especially, it's a sheriff's department that are the boots on the ground enforcing doing the policing, because they don't have a local police department.
You specify in your proposal that drug units would be eligible. And this would be a big change, because right now the program only pays for beat officers, officers on that are on patrol, correct?
That's exactly right. And so when the program was developed back in 93, it was focused on urban areas, and it was beat patrol cops. But again, because we're seeing the crime wave across the state, in a lot of the areas, you know, a beat cop isn't going to work maybe in a small town or a village,
mm-hmm.
But they might have a heroin problem, which we're seeing a growing epidemic around the state. So if they can get in some specialized units, such as a drug enforcement unit, to help with those issues, I mean, we shouldn't just limit it to something where, you know, where it would be limited to beat patrol officers. This is going to help communities much more.
Right now, current law, there's a limit. No municipality can receive, no city can receive more than $150,000.
Right.
Would you have a maximum cap if your proposal became law?
We do not have a maximum cap on it right now. What we're going to do is have everybody submit a grant. As I said, we're really going to turn it into more of a true grant program administered by the Department of Justice still. But these local sheriff's departments and municipalities are going to compete for this money, and it's going to be funded on, you know, who puts the best program forward. And we'll let the Department of Justice make that determination as far as where the resources should actually be allocated, based on the grant applications that they get.
And if DOJ gives a community a grant, that community would have a 25% match that would have to?
Yes, each community will have to have a 25% match. We also have some pretty good reporting requirements and some accountability measures in there, because what we want to make sure is that we're not just throwing money out there and then thinking that we're doing good. We want to make sure we really are doing good and that we're spending that money wisely. So anybody that receives this grant money is going to have to work with the Department of Justice to prove that they're meeting the goals set forth in their grant request. And the Department of Justice has the authority to be able to continue that funding throughout the length of the grant period, or maybe to cut it back if they feel that the money isn't being used
so
wisely.
any municipality that gets money under your program would have to document a reduction in crime to continue to receive it?
Yeah, I think that you want to see progress. And so progress can be measured in several different ways, maybe not necessarily a reduction of crime, although that's the ultimate goal here. But sometimes it's as much as just maybe a community feeling safer, right? If they see more police on the street, if you can actually notice that there are less elements hanging around that would create crime or commit crime problems in the future. So there's several different ways. You know, we were careful to do the grant program in a way that, you know, we're not law enforcement officers, so we don't know what's the best way to go. I worked very closely with the police chief in the city of West Dallas and with the sheriff's department in Milwaukee County to ask them, you know, how do they measure success when they put programs in? And so that we wanted to put some broad parameters in there, but yet we're going to let the Department of Justice be the final arbitrator in the end as to the success of the program.
Right now it's a $2 million program. You want to add 14 to take it to $16 million a year. How did you come up with the additional $14
million? Well, we had set a goal originally of about $20 million. We wanted to get it up to 20. And we were there. We had the 20. And then the governor's proposed budget came out, and some of the funding cuts that we were going to use for this program he had used in his budget as well. So it knocked us down to about 12. We were able to build that back up to about 14. But I think it's important to note that, you know, we put a list of suggested program cuts out there and reprioritizing that money. But it's not written in stone in the bill, so that if somebody has other ideas, we're certainly willing to sit down and talk about those.
Well, do you think your program, as I said at the start, right now 10 cities are getting this money, $121,000 each. Do you think these 10 cities, if they qualify, would get less? Because we're talking about the city of Milwaukee. I heard yesterday the number of homicides as of yesterday, 56 so far this year. Last year, up to the same time, only 20.
Yeah.
So violence in Milwaukee, is that a factor in your proposal?
Most definitely, and especially because, you know, I represent the city of West Dallas, which is neighboring Milwaukee. So we've seen crime increases in West Dallas because the crime is migrating out of Milwaukee and going into the suburban communities. And in the past, you know, those of us residing in suburban communities have automatically thought, well, we're pretty safe. The crime is in the large cities. Mm-hmm. That's not the case anymore. You know, as I mentioned before, we've had problems in Merrill and in Wausau. Even in the city of Beloit, the murder rate is up. Now, granted, it isn't anywhere near as the city of Milwaukee, but this is a problem that's going on around the state. So I think that the Department of Justice is going to get a lot of grant applications, and they will be able to take a look and target certain hot spots in the area as they see the need for.
Right now, as I said, these 10 cities can only pay for beat officers. Mm-hmm. What are police chiefs telling you if this went through? They would be spending this grant money on? What types of new programs?
You know, I think drug enforcement is really probably the second biggest issue area of concern right now around the state. And so West Dallas started in 2008 what they call a weed and seed program, which was putting actually more beat cops on. And it actually has worked for them to reduce property crime. Mm-hmm. So we know that adding more law enforcement officers on the street is a good thing. I think that will translate the same into areas that have this heroin problem, that if we can get officers in there, that units that are concentrated on those types of crime and help start driving down this, you know, this terrible problem that's just affecting especially kids throughout our state.
Now, you asked in your memo for co-sponsors to sign up by March 27th. How many co-sponsors do you have?
I think we're at about a half a dozen.
Just from the Assembly or both Assembly and Senate?
I believe just in the Assembly, we may have one or two in the Senate. It's been a while since I looked at the list. But we do have a couple Democrats on the bill, and I've had some good conversations with other Democrats that haven't signed on yet as co-sponsors but are interested in the bill. And again, because the crime is an issue that I think we all can get our hands around. I mean, crime knows no boundaries. It is everywhere in our state right now, and the problem is really almost getting out of control. This bill here isn't a magic wand that's going to fix all the problems, but it's kind of like the frontal attack. If we can go in, we can kind of stop the bleeding, per se, right from the start, and then work with the judges, the district attorneys, and our community corrections officers to kind of fix the problem the rest of the way.
You're not on the Joint Finance Committee, which is now building a budget.
Right.
Do you expect one of your Joint Finance buddies to sponsor this, or hasn't it got that much traction yet?
So we've been working very closely with our Joint Finance buddy to at least take a pool of money and set it aside right now. So I'd like to run the bill through the normal hearing process and even get some hearings out around the state in different areas. I think it would be good for us to be able to go and listen to what some of these local crime issues are and bring them to the forefront, and then be able to get the bill through the regular process and pass and have the funding there. I mean, the bill obviously isn't any good without the funding, so
right.
Hoping right now that Joint Finance will take a look at the cuts we've suggested or maybe come up with a few on their own to get us some resources to be able to increase this.
Which is now the time. You and I often hear legislators propose spending programs, and they don't have ideas on how to pay for them, but you've come up with specific ideas.
Yeah.
And you're goring a few special interests here, aren't you? Oxes?
Yes.
Well, let's talk about some of the biggest ones. Now, let's go down the list. I picked a few of the bigger ones. The tobacco use control. Is this money that is now spent to convince people to quit smoking or don't smoke?
Yes. You know, and it's a program that's been around a while, and this is probably one that's a little bit more controversial. So we propose taking a portion of their funding, not all of it.
Well, you want $2.6 million a year from a funding of what? Do you remember?
They're about $6 million total.
Okay, thank you.
I believe that they're spending.
So you'd be reaching for 40% or something.
Yeah. And again, this isn't a commentary on any of these programs, but what I'm really saying is we need to reprioritize the spending that we have. I mean, if you take a look at the tobacco use control, that they've been around doing that work for a number of years. They've actually been successful. Smoking rates are down. There isn't a person in the state that doesn't know that smoking isn't good for them. So great, you've done a good job, but do we need to continue to spend the same money today that we were spending 10 years ago when we had many more smokers in the state? And so some of the feedback we've gotten is, well, you know, we're educating kids that they shouldn't smoke. And again, to that I say, every kid knows that you shouldn't be smoking, and right now they've got bigger bullets to dodge than cigarettes, and it's actual bullets. I mean, we're worried about kids smoking, but they're getting gunned down in our streets, you know, by the time they're 14, or they're dying of heroin addictions. And so we need to solve that problem, and then we'll worry about the smoking and making sure that they go through the rest of their life, but let's at least get them to the point where they can live.
You want to keep them alive.
Right.
Yeah. I do not understand, and many things surprise me in state government. A diesel truck idling reduction grant, $1 million a year. Please explain.
So this is a program that's in place that helps trucking companies.
A WSDOT program?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That puts these units on their trucks so that, you know, a lot of times you'll see trucks stopped at a truck stop or a wayside, right? And in the winter when it's cold, they have to run their engines so that they can keep the heat on in their cab. So this is a unit that allows the heat to be able to run in the cab or the air conditioning in the summer without running the engine. It was meant to be an environmental program. And again, I'm not saying that environmental programs aren't worthy, and maybe this program at one point in time was a good program, but we continue to spend millions of dollars each year giving away money to trucking companies. And again, while we have this crime problem, and it's a matter of just reprioritizing our spending.
You want a $1 million, would that wipe out that program, or would there be money left?
Yes,
that would take it out.
Yeah.
My understanding on the third item on your list that we compiled is you'd wipe out the arts board, $757,000, and I think you say this is not a function of state government?
Yeah, I think that, again, you know, government's meddling into the private market, right? We should be leaving those things back up to the nonprofits that run them and the businesses that run them. And you know, in the past where it may have made sense to subsidize some of these programs, they all have great funding sources themselves and funding drives, and I think that we need to leave that go, and it's prioritizing our money.
And DNR operations, you think their general operations can take a haircut of $576,000
a
year?
Yeah, what that is just an increase they got in, from last budget to this budget. We're just saying keep them with the same money that they had in last year's budget and no increase.
And I bet you're hearing from the fishermen out there because you want to target walleye production contracts, $500,000 a year. That wouldn't wipe out that program, right? Would it dial it back or would it wipe it out?
No, that's the entire amount of money. Now, there's still, through the regular DNR budget, you have, you know, we run fish hatcheries, so we do programs. But this is a supplemental little piece of candy that was put in for somebody in the budget, you know, a number of years ago to breed the walleyes. And again, I'm sure it's important to the fishermen and the people, you know, up north. But are we better spending that $1 million stopping the heroin problem in Wausau or breeding walleye?
Okay.
I mean, to me, I'm more interested in crime than the walleye.
Have you heard from the fishing groups out there about you reaching into their walleye production money?
As you can imagine. I've heard from almost everybody on the list.
Yeah, I bet.
And we've had good conversations. And you know, my point to them is, again, this isn't a commentary necessarily on any particular program, but we're faced with a crisis right now. And if we don't do something with this crisis, we can have all the walleye we want in the Northern Lakes if the crime problem gets out of hand and people are afraid to go up there and fish.
Okay. And DADCAP, again, you want their operations to, well, I'll use the term again, take another haircut?
Just an increase in their budget from last year to this year.
Okay. The GAB, Government Accountability Investigations. You in your press release, you say this, I'm quoting from it, with the GAB's desire to continually investigate First Amendment protected behavior they could do with less or no investigation money. Explain that.
Well, I think we've seen in the past that there's been some abuses as far as what really the role of their office has been. Representative Craig has a bill out there to reform the John Doe procedure, and in that bill actually makes it very clear that the GAB does not have authority to do these types of investigations. So once that bill passes, they don't have the authority to do the investigations anyway, so they don't need that money. If we don't take it, they'll just find something else to spend it on.
You're a Republican. Is this retribution because GAB was part of the John Doe that looked at Governor Walker and his aides?
No, I'm just concerned in people's civil liberties. So whether it's Governor Walker or Governor Doyle or anybody, we want people's civil liberties protected. And I think what you see in this case is an agency that maybe went beyond their bounds a little bit. And, you know, we don't want to do anything to allow them to continue to do that.
And you and I have heard the argument that buy local is one way to stimulate local farmers' markets. You want to target the buy local grants, $200,000 a year. Would that wipe out the grants?
That leaves a little bit of funding left for them. It's about 50% of the money that they're getting.
Okay. And tourism marketing. Right now, right now we spend what, more than $1 million a year promoting the state?
So this is a specialized. Again, another little earmark that was given. In addition, you know, we have a Department of Tourism. They have a large budget. I believe it's $12 or $15 million is their budget. But this is something in addition to all the money that we're spending on tourism. And again, tourism is very important to our state. But if we have a crime problem and people are afraid to go to some areas because there's a perceived crime problem, we can do all the tourism marketing in the world and nobody is going to come. So it's a matter of prioritizing. There's still plenty of money in our budget in our tourism department, but this just takes an extra $1 million that was put on there for, you know, again, a little handout to somebody that we're saying we need to rethink whether that's the best use of those funds.
Again, I want to commemorate you for coming up with proposed funding, but every one of these programs has champions. I don't need to tell you that.
Right.
So, do you anticipate a coalition of these champions for each of these programs defeating your proposal?
I've made the same comment to every group that has come in and said, we really like your bill, but don't take our funding. And that is, let's all work together, then we can find some funding in some other areas for it. You know, this was a concern. The easiest thing for me to do would be just to throw the bill out there and then let somebody else worry how they're going to fund it. So spending has always been a concern of mine. I don't want to throw something out there unless that I find a way to pay for it. I should be willing to do the heavy lifting, which is look for the money. So that has been the challenging part of the bill. I continue to work on it with almost on a daily basis with my colleagues as well as these other groups, outside groups that come in that talk to me about the importance of their funding. And there's nothing to say that, someday in the future when things are better, maybe they can't get more of this funding back. We tried not to take 100% of anybody's funding. We tried to take portions of it here or there. But I think that we have to really face reality. Crime is a growing problem in our state. It knows no boundaries. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to be in a world of trouble in a very short time.
But you've heard the argument, perhaps this program started during the President Clinton administration when he wanted 100,000 cops out on the street. Mm-hmm. It might be part of that. But my question is this. If you make a $14 million annual commitment, when does it stop? Because you are aware that state programs, once they start, they're usually locked in forever. Have you been asked whether you'd accept a sunset date?
So as Ronald Reagan said, the nearest thing to eternity on earth is a government program, right? So,
yes.
And
yes.
I think that's what we're finding with some of our suggested cuts here. But this is not meant to be, a cure-all or a magic wand. This is something, it's like when your roof is leaking, right? You're in the middle of a rainstorm, your roof's leaking, you're going to throw a bucket under there to catch that leak. But that's not going to fix your roof. That's just going to hopefully stop the problem right there. Once it stops raining, you're going to go up and really patch the roof and fix it. So this is what we need to do. What we want to do is stop seeing an increase in the amount of crime in our state, and maybe start to roll it back. But this program is not really going to fix the problem or even completely roll the crime back on its own. It'll give the police an opportunity to kind of get ahead of things, stop the growth, and then it's going to be a team effort between the district attorneys, the judges, and our community corrections officials to say, what have we done in the past that hasn't worked, and how are we going to change it so that we do improve it in the future?
We talked about potential opponents because you're taking some of their money, but let's talk about groups that have endorsed your proposal. Have you got the backing from the sheriffs and deputy sheriffs, the police chiefs, from the DAs, from some of the courts officials?
Yeah, I think that all of the above, to some extent, have endorsed the idea and the bill. You know, there's some that have looked at it and said, we really like your bill, but, you know, we don't like some of the areas you suggested for the cuts, and which is why I tell them this is why I didn't put the cuts in the bill in stone. It's something that we can debate. So we all can get our hands around the crime problem and agree that this is something that needs to be fixed. It's a matter of the level of our commitment. In order to be able to fix it, we're going to have to make some tough choices, and this is the beginning here.
Where's Governor Walker on this?
I haven't spoken with the governor's staff on it, other than to have a brief conversation. They had contacted me that said that the governor is interested or is worried about the crime situation in the state, and he's interested in doing whatever he can to help out. If we can get something through the legislature, he'd be happy to look at it.
You said you've been working with the West Dallas Police Chief and the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department.
Correct.
What do you think Sheriff Clark, assuming his agency qualified for a grant, what new programs or what current programs will they fund with this additional money?
You know, I haven't had those conversations as far as exactly what they would do with the money. I'm not a law enforcement professional, so I was careful not to craft a bill that said you have to do this or you can't do that. We'll let the professionals decide what's best for their community. And again, every community is the same. Milwaukee has a problem with violent crime. But in other areas of the state, you know, it could be robberies. It certainly is a heroin epidemic, we know, in drugs and other areas. So we'll kind of let the local people decide what's best for them. And then we'll have the Department of Justice looking it over, who also has data as far as what problems are where in the state. And I think the Department of Justice is in a great position to be able to be the final arbiter of the grant program.
Has DOJ taken a position on your proposal, Representative?
I've had some conversation with them along the lines. They're interested in doing whatever they can to curtail crime issues as well. You know, I think we've seen with the heroin crimes that the state crime lab has processed has nearly doubled over the last few years. The Attorney General ran his campaign on the fact that he wants to really get his hands around the crime problem. So I think that they are very interested and happy to be able to have these extra resources.
And next steps on your proposal? Who's your Senate co-sponsor? Do you have one?
We talked to a couple people in the Senate yet, don't have a co-sponsor down. We want to get the bill a little bit more developed in the Assembly side. Maybe hone in more on exactly where the funding is going to come from. Right now, I've been concentrated more on working with joint finance members to get some money put aside,
okay,
and then we'll work on getting the bill through.
So you're asking the finance committee to set aside a pot of 16, which would be 14 additional from the 2 million.
Correct.
And how are those talks going since joint finance is going to be making final budget decisions in the next 3 weeks?
We're working on them every day.
Okay, but the issue here is because, as you said, we have a crime problem, therefore we should find a way to throw additional resources at it.
Yeah, I think that it's overall, it's in the best interest of the state to make sure that our neighborhoods and our communities are safe. And we do have a responsibility to pitch in and help when there's a crisis. And, you know, just as we do when there's a natural disaster, if a tornado goes through, we're helping in that instance. This is just as serious.
Very good. Representative Joe Sanfilippo, thanks for coming in to talk to Wisconsin Eye about your proposal.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You bet.